Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And this morning we want to look into verse number 15 and following, because we find here in the closing portions of the Gospel of John things that come down through the ages and affect even us who are sitting here this morning. Now, last time we got together, we talked about the fact that this is the restoration of Peter. Peter had issued his awful denial, and the Lord had said the first time that Peter saw him, Peace be unto you. Now, that was a comforting message for Simon Peter, but there was still that dark cloud hanging over to him, an incident that had not been resolved. That denial was still there. And in order for Peter to fulfill the place that the Lord has for him, this issue must be dealt with. And so it's not surprising here that Simon Peter now, whose love for the Lord Jesus really can't be questioned, he's now reminded of that betrayal. As we said before, the first thing that Simon Peter sees as he makes haste to come to land is a fire of coals, which was, of course, a reminder of an incident that had happened earlier where he warmed himself by the fire of the enemy and the denial of the Lord Jesus. But this time, instead of being in the high priest's palace, we see the Lord Jesus with bread and fish on the fire, a message of welcoming. But yet, there's this issue of the conscience that needs to be dealt with. And so, this is what Jesus is going to do. So, in verse number 14, we learn that this is now the third time that the Lord Jesus appears to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so, the number 3, of course, is important here. And in verse number 15, once again, that after they had dined, after they had this communal meal, after that they had had fellowship with the Lord Jesus, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, and since we talked about that last time we got together, we'll not belabor the point this morning, But there is a difference between Simon and Peter, and let's see who could remember what that difference is. Simon Peter. Talking about the meaning of the names.
Simon means like rock, and Peter means
a pebble. A rock as versus a little old pebble. That's exactly it. So when they had dined, verse number 15, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon. He doesn't call him Simon Peter, he calls him Simon, the rock. Lovest thou me more than these? Well, we know that he had made his boast, and we looked at the scriptures beforehand and saw that Peter had resolutely sworn that though all the rest of the disciples would forsake him and flee, Peter wouldn't. He was ready to go to prison and to death with the Lord Jesus. And then comes his betrayal as he warms himself by the fire of the enemy. And I suppose there are many messages we could preach on that that are good for today, because the enemy has a lot of fires out there that he would like for us as believers to come and warm ourselves at. And so, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And of course, now that's a direct reference to what had happened before. So if Peter's conscience is not sufficiently pricked by seeing the fire of coals, why, this lovest thou me more than these would certainly bring a degree of focus to his thoughts. Lovest thou me more than these? Now Peter says to the Lord in verse number 15, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. We talked about that before. Peter now has learned a lesson. Not all the lessons, but a great lesson. He's learned that Peter in the flesh is subject to warming himself by the enemy's fire. But Peter in the spirit, he's an entirely different person. And this harkens forward to Romans chapter 6. The difference between man in the flesh and man in the spirit. Now Peter throws himself, of course, on the omniscience of the Lord in verse number 15. He said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He doesn't say, I love thee. That wouldn't play very well with his conscience at this point in time, would it? Not well at all. And so he throws himself on the omniscience of the Lord. Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. The Lord Jesus accepts Peter's confession that he knows everything, which is the same as saying, You are Jehovah God. You know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus does not answer, Yes, indeed, I do know it. But he answers this way, Feed my lambs. Now, Peter had received a commission earlier in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, his earthly ministry. And what was that commission? Let's put all these things together in our mind as we go into this next thing that the Lord has said to Peter, Feed my lambs.
Where he gave it, said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Peter is commissioned. Interesting. He calls him Simon there. I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I've commissioned you to do something of the utmost importance. And we see Peter throughout the book of Acts using those keys twice. Once to open the gospel to the Jews, and another time to open the gospel to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius. Peter still has that commission. Now, that commission dealt with evangelism. But now the Lord is talking about the feeding of his lambs. And so there's two different aspects to this commission that we need to understand. First is that the gospel must be preached. Otherwise, people can't respond to it. So Peter was commissioned with the bequeathment of these keys to preach the gospel. And so he does that, we see in the book of Acts. But now the Lord Jesus here at this scene on the shore is telling him to feed my lambs. Because evangelism is only part of the project and the calling in of the bride of Christ. Evangelism is important because without evangelism, people will not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They'll not receive the new birth. But once they have, they need now to be taught about the Lord Jesus. They need to be taught the scriptures. That's the feeding that Peter is commissioned to do. So we've gone from fishing to shepherding. Peter starts out as a fisherman, but now he's commanded to shepherd the Lord's flock. So he's gone from an evangelist in this verse to a pastor teacher. And we'll see how that plays out as we continue looking into this scripture. There's something else here in verse number 15. The Lord Jesus says not just feed lambs, he says feed my lambs. This is important. And as we look back through the pages of history, 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus gave this instruction to Peter, and churchianity as it developed afterwards, we see that the Roman Catholics have put their faith and trust in Peter, as it were. So Peter was supposedly the first pope, and they believe in what they call the Patrine See, which simply means the ministry of Peter. The pope carries on the ministry of Peter. And we're going to see as Paul now comes onto the scene that there's a real problem with doing that. But the situation starts out here with the Lord Jesus now giving Peter an instruction to feed my lambs. So let's look into that first, because churchianity has a tendency to try to treat the people in the pews as their peculiar property, sheep that are to be fleeced and controlled, as though somehow they themselves are the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the lambs are theirs, and they're free to do with them as they desire. No. Those that the Lord calls are under shepherds, not the chief shepherd. And we'll look into that in a moment. But for now, let's turn to John chapter 10. Feed my lambs. In John chapter 10, the Lord underscores this very point and does it in an unmistakable manner. Feed my lambs. John chapter 10, then, beginning in verse number 1. Now, Peter, of course, was present when the Lord was teaching this lesson, so he's heard this. Let's look into it for ourselves this morning. John chapter 10, then, beginning in verse number 1. Verily, verily. When the Lord says, verily, verily, what's he expressing? Listen carefully, I'm about to teach you something that is of paramount importance. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, listen carefully, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So here we find the Lord Jesus Christ now declaring that the sheep are his. And he's also declaring that there are other interlopers who have attempted to deceive his sheep and to make use of them as they would. Let's read verses 14 and 15 because this is where we get into this scene. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So the Lord is saying that this message that I'm giving to you transcends your situation and place in life. And we must remember that he now is speaking to the Jewish nation and to individual Jews. And so, of course, he's saying that he has sheep that are of that fold, and then he has sheep of another fold, which also must be brought, is where we come in to the picture. And so, that's a wonderful thing. We're included in this also. And so, therefore, this passage of Scripture is very important to us as well. Let's take a little closer look. First of all, he begins in verse number 1 by saying, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. This is a consistent theme in this portion of Scripture. So the question remains here in this portion of Scripture, who are these thieves and robbers? Well, he's giving a physical example here, once again, of a spiritual truth. What he is trying to say here is that there are those that will attempt to come into the sheepfold where the Lord's sheep are to rob, to steal, and to destroy. That's why we are paying particular attention to the book of Jude in the evening service, because this is exactly what Jude is talking about. He's warning about these false teachers that would come in and try to lead the sheep astray, lead them into a false path. Would they cease to be sheep? No, they'd still be sheep. But would they be carrying forth the plan and purpose of the Lord? No, they'd become distracted and do those things that are not profitable to the bride of Christ. So, what is the Lord saying here? Well, first of all, that verse number 4, he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's only in the new birth that we can hear the voice of the Lord. That is how he has chosen to speak to us, through his word. There is no other way. Those that believe in the sorts of miracles that you hear bandied about by various portions of churchianity, and they say how that, well, you know, somebody saw the Lord Jesus himself at Fatima, and so there's this false miracle of Fatima where the Lord appeared and supposedly gave a message. And of course, the Catholics revere that idea. But sometimes you'll even hear those of the Protestant, and sometimes, sadly, even evangelicals, they'll say, well, the Lord spoke in an audible voice. He's told me to do this or to do that. That's an immediate, glaring, red sign up in the air. Don't listen to this person. I was out in the woods cutting firewood with my chainsaw, and it backfired, and through the backfire I heard the voice of the Lord speaking, or something like that. There's only one place that the Lord speaks to us today, and it's in this book, and it's applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit himself. He's our teacher and guide. And so when a born-again believer hears the voice of the Lord, he hears it from the Word of God, and it's applied to his heart by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself. We hear the voice of God when we read the Word, which that makes it so important. That's the way that we are to be fed. Remember, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." Well, the question would come up, the same as it did with the feeding of the 5,000. What are we supposed to feed them with, Lord? This small boy here that has this little lunch that he's got packed, that's not sufficient for 5,000. What are we supposed to feed them? Who supplied the food? Here we have a physical representation of a spiritual truth. It's God himself that supplies the food. And when the Lord speaks to us, we know that it is him. Yes?
You're not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us on various things that we're doing throughout our life that aren't mentioned in Scripture. You mean like if we're looking at a job situation or something like that, or trying to help a family member, he will guide
sure.
us. He will give us.
Yes.
He will speak to us in that kind of way. But you're not. You're just saying it does. It's not a general revelation for the whole body of Christ or something.
Yes, and it's this revelation to the body of Christ out of which that sort of guidance grows. But it's important that we understand that it's the Lord telling us this, and the only sure way that we have is to look into his word. And most of the vicissitudes of life that you're speaking of here, if you study the scriptures, there'll be guidance right in the scriptures concerning that very thing that you might have a question about. So familiarity with the scriptures is of paramount importance for a Christian to live a godly life. And so, what else do we see here? Well, in verse number 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I'm going to get to that when he says, feed my lambs, because there's a difference in the words that the Lord Jesus used to Simon Peter. He says, feed my lambs, and then he goes on to say again, feed my sheep. And the Holy Spirit doesn't inscripturate anything that isn't important. So we'll look into that aspect too. So here the disciples are not understanding what the Lord is saying to them, but they know that it's the Lord. That's the first place that we have to start. And then he goes on to say in verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, if you look at the history of Old Testament Israel, you see that some of the priests and chief priests that Israel had were not exactly paragons of virtue before the Lord. They were corrupt. They corrupted the Word of God. They attempted to use it for their own personal aggrandizement. Almost like you see going on in churchianity today. Wow. I got to stop and think about that. Something old and something new.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just the norm.
It's the norm for fallen and corrupt man. But the truth of the matter is that we still hear the voice of the Lord if we're born again, and we may not understand everything at first. And so I'm kind of hinting here why he uses the word lambs once and then sheep later. And then he points out in verse number 9 that he's the door. There's no other way into this sheepfold. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he points out in verse number 11 that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is speaking prophetically here because he will give his life for the sheep. Verse number 12, but he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. We see that going on all the time in churchianity. And if you look back into the Old Testament, you see that the same thing is true there. Prophets for hire, Balaam is an example of that. What does that point out? Well, if the sheep are not theirs, then who is the owner of the sheep? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, once again. And so, back to John chapter 21 and verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter. So the stage is set here. They're gathered together in communal fellowship. They know that the Lord is there with them. Wonderful teaching moment. Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Well, that's interesting. Feed my lambs. How am I supposed to feed the lambs? That's the question that I'm sure has come up in Peter's mind. And so before we go back and talk a little bit more about the fact that the lambs belong to Christ and not to any human, let's look at the idea of the lambs, because then it'll make more sense when we go back and revisit what the Lord has told Peter here to feed his lambs. Who are these lambs? Well, as I pointed out a moment ago, there's a difference between what the Lord says in verse number 15 and what he says in verse number 16, because in verse number 16 he says, feed my sheep, but in verse number 15, once again, he says, feed my lambs. And the word lamb here is the diminutive for sheep. It means a young, tender lamb, a young, tender sheep. One that needs a special measure of protection and nurture. Where do we find that in the Scriptures? Let's start in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verse number 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, we understand that. I'm sure most of us have memorized that verse. or at the very least, it's very familiar to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the first thing we need to understand about these lambs is that they have to be lambs, not goats. The Lord Jesus now is giving the disciples verbally the Word of God as he stands on the shore here, the third time that he appears unto his disciples. And so now, concerning these lambs, they have to be born as lambs, not as goats or some other form of animal. How are they born? Where do they come from? Because the message that the Lord Jesus here is giving to Peter is spiritual. It's not physical. He's using an agricultural example once again. Now, this is not a parable, but plain teaching here. But the plain teaching is that these lambs belong to him, and it's a spiritual connection with him. These disciples now, as they're standing on the shore of the lake of Gennesaret, are seeing the Lord physically before he ascends into heaven for the last time. This is the last time they will have a physical connection with the Lord Jesus. From now on forth, it has to be a spiritual connection. No, not any one of us has ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate in the flesh. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's the first necessary step. So, if we have the new birth here, something got born, and so what about that? Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And as our manner is, we're just taking you on a little trip through the scriptures. And it's a wonderful trip. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 10. Now we get the parable of the sower. And in verse number 10, the disciples are asking, well, what could this mean? Well, that's interesting. And in verse number 10, he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And then he goes on to explain the parable. But before we go there, remember that these disciples now are lambs. They've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to them, having delivered this parable that they don't understand, he says to them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So the word mystery, mysterion, means what when you see it in the New Testament? Something that previously had not been known, but now is made open that it might be made known. And the word mystery here is addressed to the disciples. This is something that even you haven't known before, but I'm about to clue you in on it. And even after I've clued you in on it, anybody that hasn't put their faith and trust in me like you have will still not be able to understand this parable. It will still be a mystery unto them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got these lambs now. They're not mature believers. They're just lambs, and they're stumbling along the way. Verse number 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So what do we learn here in verse number 11? He's given an agricultural example of a spiritual truth. Now, those that heard it, that have no faith or trust in the Lord, they can't understand it at all. They don't understand that it's spiritual truth because they have no receptor mechanism for spiritual truth. And that's the same thing that's true even today. When an unbeliever begins to read the Bible, he's filled with questions that seemingly can't be answered because the Bible is spiritual truth. It's not just a piece of literature. It is literature, but that's not its end-all, be-all. What is it for? It's that we might feed upon it, but in order for us to feed upon it, we must have a receptor mechanism. In the case of the agricultural parable, our stomachs or our bodies are the receptor mechanism because we can eat food that is grown. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying the seed is the word of God, which must be spiritually discerned. And so a person that is not born again has no power of spiritual discernment because they're spiritually dead in trespass and sin. They're separated from God. Those goats can't hear his voice, but the sheep can hear his voice. But that doesn't mean that they immediately understand it. They have to be instructed. Remember, feed my lambs. Well, how are they to be fed? The Lord Jesus now is showing them how the lambs are to be fed, because here we have some lambs before us in the form of these disciples. Verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. What's he taught them here? It's a lesson in spiritual discernment. Which of these classes that we find in the explanation of the parable are they that have the receptor mechanism? They that are on the good ground are they, which an honest and good heart, they hear the word and they keep it. The sheep hear my voice and they know me as I know them. So what do we have here? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, following the same line of thought. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see what Peter himself has to say, because that'd be pretty instructive, wouldn't it? This is the same Peter that the Lord is addressing on the shore of the lake. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. Being born again. Here Peter's talking about the receptor mechanism. Being born again, the new birth. Not of corruptible seed, like the seed that was sown by the wayside or the seed that was sown on the stony ground. But not corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So once again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that little lamb that was listening to the Lord teaching in John chapter 10 has now matured and has understanding here of this spiritual principle. Being born again, verse number 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God. That's the mechanism. Which liveth and abideth forever. His words abide forever. The earth and all that it is shall pass away, but his words will abide forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Does it sound like Peter has reached a degree of spiritual maturity here? He understands where when we go back to the previous scriptures that we looked at, the Lord patiently explains these things to him, but he can then come to understand them because he's spiritually connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we hear the Lord Jesus. It's through his word and the Holy Spirit showing us that this is the very voice of very God. That's how we know that we know him. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But let's go back to this business of feed my lambs. Does Peter have something to say about that? Since Peter is the one that's being spoken here to in John chapter 21, let's see what he says about this business of my lambs once again. And we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse... Sorry? Did I say go there? No, I was just hearkening back to John chapter 21. I'm sorry. Don't listen to what I say. Listen to what I mean. 1 Peter chapter 2 then, and verse number 25. Peter now is continuing his ministry to Jewish believers. He says so in the beginning of both of his epistles. And so when he's saying it to Jewish believers here, he's hearkening back to those Jewish believers that are gathered around the Lord in John chapter 21. Don't go there. Verse number 25, 1 Peter chapter 2. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Peter's reminding these Jewish Christians that they were as sheep going astray. They were sheep having no shepherd, but now they do have a shepherd, and Peter's recounting in their ears here that you were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. There's two different terms here that Peter will use, and they're used interchangeably, but they show a different side of the same coin. And those two words are bishop and elder. These are one of the two offices in the New Testament church. And bishop, the Greek word under it, is episkopos. And episkopos means a ruler or a leader. The other, elder, is presbyteros. It means elder, old, just like when we get old and we don't see so well, it's called presbyopia, and we have to get glasses and stuff like that. Well, it's old vision. You can be young and still have old vision. I'm old and still have young enough vision that I pass the driver's test. Make of it what you will. But what's he saying here? He says in verse number 25, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He's getting at two different things here. The shepherd's duty is to tend the flock. It's to keep the flock together and to feed them. And that's drawn out in the word bishop that he uses here, because it's a position of leadership to guide the flock. And that's what the Lord is talking about back in John chapter 10. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. They come to fleece the flock, to make use of the flock, to misguide the flock. They're not real shepherds. But Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheep. Not only am I door to the sheep, but I call the sheep by name, and they hear my voice, and they know that I'm the shepherd of the sheep. And if somebody other than the shepherd of the sheep calls them, they flee from them. This is an important distinction, because when we look at churchianity in the world today, we see the parable of the mustard seed writ large. We see this mustard tree, which is supposed to be a small and tender herb, which most of us like, but it grows up into this huge bush or a tree where the fowls of the air come and lodge in its branches and befoul it with their presence. These are the tares, the sheep and the tares. The tares can't hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, but being that they're religious, they want to follow along and put forth a good appearance to the community. But there's only one way into the sheepfold, and that's by the door. Well, if they don't come in by the door, can they be shepherded? No, they really can't. It's like trying to herd cats. And if you've ever tried that, it's be very instructive. But that's what it's like to try to make Christians out of goats. It doesn't work. It can't work. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we're looking at what Peter himself is saying after he's grown and matured in the Lord. He started off as a lamb too. But now he's a mature believer and he's fulfilling what the Lord has for him to do. He's a soldier of the Lord Jesus. He's one that is well instructed, and he's passing that instruction along to us. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I think this deserves a closer look, don't you? But since we're already a few minutes over, we're going to have to save that for next time. But file this away in your mind now. This is what Peter is saying, commissioning others to carry on in his place. Because when we get back to John chapter 21, we're going to find out that the Lord Jesus says, Peter, you're not going to live forever. And as a matter of fact, you're not really going to like the way that you come to join me in heaven. And so Peter now, knowing that, is starting to prepare for the future. He's preparing those that will come along to feed his lambs. His lambs. Let's pray.